Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today's passage is from NSAB Study Bible, Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6. A father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in his holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land.
I want to take a few moments. We have a lot of visitors this morning. I want to take 2 minutes, just two to three minutes. I want you to get up and greet the one next to you if you don't know them. Make them feel good. So time starts now. Yeah, don't greet your brother. Don't greet your brother and your dad. I got you.
What up?
Hey, babe.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. God answers prayer. He answers prayer. God is so good. He's so good to me. We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne. With humble hearts unto his presence. We bring an offering of song, glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the song of the redeemed. And at the end of our journey, We shall fall down on bended knees with thankless angels up in heaven. We shall sing eternally and with the angels sing in heaven. We sing forever and a day that Jesus Christ is our Savior. He is the life, the truth, the way.
It is Orphan Sunday, and we are excited. Amen?
Amen.
We have an opportunity to serve. We have an opportunity to give back. It's an exciting time. God has given so much to us. Amen? He's definitely given to us, and I think it's awesome that we have the opportunity to think about someone else and have an opportunity just to give back. If we care to take a look around us, just our community, if we look around, we know. Can you hear me? If you look around, there's a need everywhere we go. Everywhere you go, everywhere you walk, there is a need somewhere. And I want us to be able to keep that mindset of serving someone else who is in need. We can look, we see children, we see adults, we see different individuals, we see people that are in great, great need. Now we gotta look at that. What is that need? Sometimes we're not really in need. Sometimes we want a few things, we're not really in need. But I want us to look at that need. So not everybody that asks for help is definitely, they're not in need. We have those who ask and they ask for help to see what they can manipulate, see what they can get. Sometimes we have people that are doing perfectly fine. They're in abundance, and they just want to receive. And we all know people like that like to receive and not give back. But we're God's people. We don't do that, do we? Hey, okay. It always gets quiet when we get a little bit personal, But those situations there. Sometimes we land ourselves in situations based on our decisions that we make. We make poor decision after poor decision at times. Not always, but we land ourselves in situations where we are in need. We're in need of something or somehow it's come about where we have to ask. And that's okay. It's understandable at times. But we have to remember there are those who are in true need. And this is Orphan Sunday, and we're going to be looking at a specific need, and that's orphans. Orphans don't get to choose what they want to be. An orphan is not an orphan because they chose a certain path or a situation or they made decisions and they put themselves in the position to be an orphan. It wasn't their choice. I want to be an orphan when I grow up, you know? That's just not the case. So I want us to be focusing our minds and our hearts and our souls on that need this morning. And I hope that something is said that touches your heart, that where you want to make a difference, whether it's sacrificing your time or sacrificing energy or maybe monetarily just to help someone or help an orphan out. And one of the things we should care, why should we care about orphans? We should care about orphans because God definitely cares about orphans. Go to Exodus chapter 22. Exodus 22. It'd be greatly appreciated. And I want us to see how God feels. I don't care how you, what I feel. I don't want what I think. It's not about me or what I feel about the orphans. But let's see how God feels about the orphans. And one of the things with orphans is going to be mentioned a lot. Usually, when it's mentioned in Scripture, it's going to be mentioned with widows and those who are needy, because those are the orphans and needy and widows. They need help in times of need. In that society that they were in, and even today, those are the most helpless ones in society, in this culture, that need help, the orphans, the widows, and those who are in need. But Exodus 22 says, "You shall not afflict any widow or orphan. If you afflict him at all, and if he does cry out to me, I will surely hear his cry." Verse 24, "My anger will be kindled, and I will take you down, and with the sword, and your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless. If you lend money to people, to the poor among you, and you are not to act as a creditor to him, you shall not charge him interest. If you ever take your neighbor's cloak as a pledge, you are to return it to him before the sun sets." We're not to act as other creditors. We serve because we give, because God has given to us in so many different ways that we could never repay him with the amount of money. We can only repay him in any type of way with the service that we offer up free, out of the service of love that we offer up to different individuals. And I don't care if you are, I don't care how old you are, I don't care how young you are, I don't care what your money, we can all help those in need. Whether it's lending an ear, whether it's lending an awareness, whether it's helping somebody in times of trouble and struggle, whether you're a broke college student, you can help the needy. There's many ways, volunteering and sacrificing time. We can help. Why should we help? Because God loves the widows and the orphans. He loves them. He does, and he says, you shall not afflict any widow or orphan. So we should not inflict any or put any anybody in need in further need or in a further deficit. So we see that God cares about the orphans and definitely the widows as well. God protects the orphans with his law. We see right here, that's in Exodus 22. God protects the orphan with his law. He also cares deeply about them. And we can, as we go through, we're going to see that God is the father of the fatherless. If you go to Psalm 68, Psalm 68, with me real quick, Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6. We're going to start out slow just so we can kind of see the need there that God is definitely going to be providing. Verse 5 in chapter 68 of the Psalms. He says, a father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in his holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoner in prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in parched land. So he's going to give a home to the homeless. He's going to give, he's going to be a parent to those who are fatherless. And I say father because our God is the creator of the universe and creation of all things, and he is going to be the father of everything. He is the father of everything, and he provides that protection for his people. But I want to look at three different things this morning and how God is the father to the fatherless. One, he's the father to the fatherless in his providence and his protection. He's also the father to the fatherless in his promises that he makes. And last but not least, he is the father to the fatherless in the way that he, his people, which is us, and how he provides through us. So go to Psalm 146, verse 9. Psalm 146. There's so much I learned just from what Scripture has to say about the orphans and the widows. It was kind of alarming, and I didn't realize how much I did realize how much I didn't know about them. But Psalm 146, verse 9. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless, the orphans, and the widow. But he thwarts the way of the wicked. He provides the food, he says. I'm gonna give them a home. I'm going to protect them. So God is a father to the fatherless in the way that he protects them and also the way he provides for them. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 24 as well if you want to go there. Deuteronomy chapter 24, we see that he's a father to the fatherless in those ways. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19. He says, when you reap, and this is how he's providing for them. He's giving food, he's giving them clothes, he's giving them everything they need. So in those times where we look out and we see the orphans, they can't provide for themselves. And also, if we look at our lives, we can't provide for ourselves in so many different ways. However, we have this is something that we need. It is a prerequisite that we have to rely on one another. I cannot. It is impossible for me and you to live this life without help. Amen? You can raise your hand. I'll wait. If you've made it in this life on your own, completely, no one. So we're all subject to this. So God is a father to the fatherless in the way he protects them and also the way he provides for them. Deuteronomy 24, verse 19 says, when you reap your harvest in your field and you have forgotten a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. Isn't that what we want to do? We get off our stuff, we gather it up, oh, we forgot something. Let's go pick it back up and keep it for ourselves. Well, he says, once you harvest, during that time of harvest, you shall not go back and get it. You shall, that shall be for the alien, the orphan, and for the widow, in order that the Lord, your God, may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive, the olive trees, you shall not go back over again. It shall be for the alien and the orphan and for the widow. Again, he's providing in ways that we can't even provide. Like, I think it's so beautiful how God always is concerned for the lost, the poor, and those who can't provide for themselves. He's always making a way. Always. Always. Even when we're in the lowest time of our lives, God can still provide if you're paying attention to what he's giving you. Life is scary at times, but we can go through it with certainty, knowing that God is going to protect us, and he's going to provide for us and protect us in ways we can't even imagine. I know there's some of us in here that have been in situations where we know we shouldn't have made it out alive. We know we shouldn't have. We shouldn't be. How are we surviving? There's always that moment where we say, "I've reached rock bottom," and then something, and we still have, and we're still alive, and we're still making it. God stills allows breath to enter in. We're able to live. So why would we, in abundance, not give to those in need? Why? I want us to be thinking about these things. Because it hurt my feelings when I look at how, it hurts my feelings when I see how much abundance I have, and then I work harder to gain more abundance. Don't we all do that? Are we all subject to that? We work hard to get this, and then we've gained all we've want, all we've gained, everything we need, and more, and then we got to go even harder to add to that. And I think it's beautiful how God provides. Again, when you have your fields, he says, we all don't have fields. But he's saying in the Old Testament, when they had those fields, he says, don't take everything because you needed the wheat. I'm providing for them in that way. Because human tendency says, I've taken all my stuff. If I put the work in, it's mine. It's mine. And it's so hard for us at times to sacrifice a little from our abundance. I'm subject to that. Are you? And if you are, I mean, we got it good. We have it really good. Who froze to death last night? I guess you wouldn't be here if you froze to death, right? Right? It got a little cold, and whoop, what do? Click, click, click. Man, it got good again. A little boom, boom, you know? Orphan. I snuggle up with Sarah, get a little cold, put my feet up, you know what I mean? Get comfortable. Orphan? Man. So why am I comfortable living knowing I'm not serving in a way that God has said I need to serve? James chapter 1:27 even says this. He goes as far as to say true worship. Actually, you know what? Let's not even use my brain. My brain is forgetting stuff right now. James chapter 1, verse 27. He's saying true worship is meeting the needs of the orphans and the widows. True worship. Undefiled worship, he says. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Whoa. True religion. True worship is to serve others who are in need. True worship. He didn't say just any type of worship that we just give them half. Some of us are in here right now giving them just a little bit. We've been exhausted trying to build our empires the whole week. We get here and we're going to give you what we got, God. I'm giving you about 48% today. I was tired. Kids were running around. Woo! My kids weren't running around. I don't have kids like that running around, but you know what I'm saying? It's like we build so much and that we have this abundance and we're not giving back. And he says true worship is meeting their needs. Are we meeting their needs? Man, we said this earlier this morning. The children are good. The children are good. The orphans, children, they're good. The kingdom of heaven is theirs if anything shall happen in this moment. They're good. But who is God truly testing? With the orphans? With the widows? Who is he testing? He's testing us. Right now, in the moment, are we going to meet that need and prove to ourselves and to God that we believe in him and we believe in his word and we are going to truly worship him with being undefiled? Can we do that with a good conscience? But not only is God the Father to the fatherless in the way he protects, he's also the Father to the fatherless in his promise. Psalm 68 again. Psalm 68, verses 5 and 6. He says, a father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows in his habitation, his holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious will dwell in the parched land. Again, God has promised a home for the homeless. But how is he going to give them a home? How? How is he going to give them a home? How is he going to care for them? How? By providing the needs. But how is he providing those needs? Through his people. We've got to do more. We have more than enough. We got to give. Not only is God, is he a father to the fatherless in his promise, but he's also a father to the fatherless in his people, his earthen vessels, serving the orphan in a way, like I said, we acknowledge that God, we got to make those sacrifices. James chapter 1, 22 says this. James chapter 1, 22 reads this. I think I turned the heat up because it's like burning up right now. I accidentally moved that thing for real. But it's okay. It's going to be all right. James chapter 1, verse 22. I was saying that typical preacher, you know, like, whoo, it's getting... That's a bad joke. Chapter 1, verse 19 says, this you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, but prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself, he has gone away and immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, he abides and performs the law, that perfect law of God, having not become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. If any man thinks himself to be religious, all of us would assume, we would expect ourselves to be religious here and spiritual. If we truly believe that we are religious and spiritual, yet we don't bridle our tongue, but deceive our own hearts. But pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God is to visit the orphans and widows in their distress. Also, Matthew 25 talks about this is the way God is going to provide for the orphans and the widows. When we look at our service and the way we serve people, what are we doing? How are we doing it? Are we just talking about it, or are we actually being about it? Are we talking about it, or my brother always tells me, every time I tell him I'm going to do something, don't do it. He says, man, don't talk about it, but be about it. Are we going to be about it? Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 says this. If we really want to serve, I want to put us to the test, and myself as well. I want to put us to the test if we're really being and serving the Lord the way we should be serving the Lord. I hope you take this personal, because I'm taking it personal. This is the Word of God, and I want you to just really follow along and listen. This is going to be the judgment scene. Matthew 25:31. But when the Son of Man comes in glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered together before him. And he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep and the goats. And he will put the sheep on the right, and then the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, come on, who are blessed. That word blessed means approved of God. Those who are approved of God, of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. So he's saying, listen, I'm going to separate the people who talk about it, and I'm going to separate the people who are actually doing it. So in this moment right now, I want us to think about who you are and what your purpose is in this life. And if you truly are serving the Lord mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, or if we're just talking about it. Are we all for that test? Amen? We're up for the test. Judgment's going to be a day. It's going to be a day. He says, the king will say, those on the right, come in, who are blessed, who are approved of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Keep that word in mind, prepared. Verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Basically, I was hopeless. I had no hope in this world, just as we've all been. No hope. Verse 37, the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we ever... When were you hungry and we fed you? I don't remember that. Or when were you thirsty and we gave you something? I don't remember actually seeing you there, God. And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and we clothed you? And he says, when did we see you sick or in prison and we came to you? I don't remember doing that. The king will answer and say to them, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, one of these orphans, one of these widows, one of these people who are in distress, deep distress. Some people are, there's a lot of kids in dysfunctional homes that need structure. They need discipline. They need wisdom. They need understanding. Truly I will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the last of them, you did it to me. So when we serve the orphan, when we serve the widow, when we can stop fighting with one another and come together and serve one another and do good for one another, until that moment comes, we hop to the left. Then he will say, verse 41, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, accused ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared, again, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. You know, I saw that guy on the corner. I had the money. I wanted to give it to him, but I figured he would go do something stupid with it, and then I didn't want to do right. For some reason, are we now not obligated to do the right thing even when the situation looks wrong? I'm not saying enable anybody, and that's what we're afraid of, is we're going to enable somebody. We may enable somebody. Or you may prove them that God is still here. You may entertain an angel. I don't like sermons to be about me, but I remember I was adopted. Somebody didn't want me. I felt somebody didn't want me. Somebody gave me up. But there was a man, a mentor, who took me in and said I was something. Told me to read Romans 12. You can be with God and he's going to adopt you as a son in Christ. I didn't know what that meant. Didn't know what that meant. And he told me one day, you're going to lead God's people. What does that even mean? I don't know what that means at 16. What does that even mean? But somebody took the time. Somebody took the effort, gave me structure, discipline, understanding, wisdom, love, kindness. So how can I not return that? God has been so good. And look, I'm not saying, look at me now, preaching the gospel. Isn't it awesome what God can do when somebody cares? It's a beautiful thing. Who are you going to touch when you serve the least of these?
We see people, I remember I'm in saggy pants, using all kinds of slang. I was one of those people you would look at and say, man, pull your pants up. Man, those people, somebody didn't teach him anything. My mom's a great woman, but I guess she didn't know how to raise what I needed. But somebody else came along because they saw something, and God saw something. And look at us now. We're here. And what will you do by serving someone else? Serve the least of them. Don't judge the least of them. Serve the least of them. You never know what they may become. Maybe they may be a preacher of the gospel. Maybe they may be daughters in Christ that lead other individuals to Christ. Maybe they have that soft nature and that leadership and that kindness. All because you served the least of them. All because we served the least of them. So while my father's not in the home, he hasn't been around for a long time, I'm not going to talk ill, but he wasn't a good man. But look how many fathers I have now in the gospel of Christ Jesus who are leading me, who are showing me something different. All because they took the time to show somebody a little bit of wisdom, a little bit of understanding, and a little bit of judgment, and how to just imagine what you can do when you take an orphan in, or when you adopt. I'm not saying we got to save the world tomorrow. We can't save the world tomorrow. But what I am saying is this. I want you to consider what you can do and how you can perform and be a performer of the gospel for Christ Jesus. What you can do for Him, because He is going to save the world. Let's sit back, serve, and watch God save the world. He's going to perform things we can't perform. And He's going to do amazing things that we wouldn't believe even if we were told. All because we chose to do what He asked us to do in serving the orphan, in serving the widow, in serving the lost and those who are in need. God has been good to every one of us. Amen? Beyond belief. And I want us to really understand this. A huge portion of our relationship with God is based on how we treat others. I want to say that again. Like, I want you to look me in my eye. And I'm not crying. This is like, it's hot. Eyeballs are like sweating, you know what I mean? But I want us to I want you to look me in my eye and focus when I say this. A huge portion of your relationship with God is based on how you treat others. Amen? I'm telling you, a lot's riding on how you treat others. Because if you can't, we all say we love God. Amen? We love God, right? We love God, right? But we have trouble loving our... We have trouble loving our brother that's... Some of us in this room, right across the pew. Amen? It's hard. We can look... Matter of fact, let's do it. Look at the person across from you. Look at the person. It's hard to love each other at times. And we struggle with that. But we cry out, I love you, Lord, but I can't treat you very well at times. I can't provide for the lost and the needy because I haven't prepared myself for salvation. I haven't prepared myself ahead of time with my finances, with my time, with my understanding and wisdom. We got to prepare. If He's preparing a place, then we better prepare in getting there. And He said through faith, understanding, wisdom, and serving orphans. And those widows and those who are in need. If you can't take the time to prepare to serve your brother, don't even prepare to go to heaven in the presence of God. Just give it up. If you can't love the one right across from you, give it up now. That's the whole... A huge portion of our relationship with God is based on how we treat others. So I want to end with this. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Verse
James chapter 2, verse 14. And again, I want you to be thinking about ways that you can go home today. Not, well, next month we got to think about, well, next month Thanksgiving is coming. Who cares about Thanksgiving? Like, it's going to be a bunch of people with abundance eating food, eating more than what we need, and then throwing out half the food we don't want. That's Thanksgiving. Right? Amen? On some level. And then we can have fun with family, but at the same time, there are still people out there. They don't have that relief from being an orphan. So I'm just saying, sacrifice a little time during your Thanksgiving to give to someone else. That's all I'm saying. I'm getting a little hyped up here right now because we're amazing people in God, in Christ. We're amazing people only in Christ. And we can serve and give so much and provide so much if we just take an hour a week. An hour a week. He says this, when you see somebody in need, I want you to think about all the people in need as I read this and what you're going to do to serve them. What use is it, my brethren? If someone says he has faith but has no works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, it has no work. Even so, faith has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may very well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But you are willing to recognize, you foolish man, faith without works is dead. Drop down to verse 6. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, also faith without works is dead. Keeping it very simple, if you want to grow in your faith, you better be serving. Period. Serving in the name of Jesus, and you better give him credit. If you want to grow in your faith, I'm talking practical, be doers of the word, not just a hearer who's deluding himself. Serve somebody in the word. Faith without works is dead. Orphan Sunday, I hope that your heart is being worked on by God, and I want us to give. Not just today, but give continually in the gospel of Christ Jesus. God is the Father too. The fatherless, how in the way he protects and provides, in the way that he in his promise, and also in the way he serves. God serves through his people. If you have a need this morning, we haven't been giving, you haven't been striving or exhausting yourself in the gospel, there's a time set aside where you can maybe change your life or change some of the ways you've been serving. But right now, in this moment, if you haven't been serving in the ways that God has asked, now is the time, before it's everlasting too late, because God is the Father to the fatherless. He is the Father of everyone in this room, and every one of us has once been fatherless spiritually. Give thanks to God by serving the orphans, widows, and those who are in need. If you have a need this morning, the song of encouragement is going to be sung right now.